Okay, we're going to start here at the bottom of Kof Aleph Amud Bet, 10 lines up from the bottom. The Gemara here is still discussing the question that was raised up earlier on the Amud, which is, Baal mi akar akar, oh, dilma mi gazgais. How does the hafara of the Baal work? Does it undermine it, meaning that it removes it completely retroactively? Or mi gazgais, it only cuts it off prospectively. And the Gemara keeps trying to bring proofs to either side, and now we're up to Tashma. Tashma, Aisha shenadra b'nazir. She took a neder nezirut, v'ayta shota b'yayin u'metama l'metim. But yet, she was violating that neder nezirut that she took. Harizo sofeget et arba'im. She gets malkot for violating her neder. Hey, chidami. What's the case here? Ilei medelo hefer la'bal. It's a case where the husband did not nullify the neder. Tzrich l'meimar. Then what's the question here that she gets penalized? She took a neder nezirut, she's violating it. They're giving hatra, warning her not to do it. She's doing it anyway. Of course she's going to get malkot. Ela pshita deifer labal. Must be that the scenario here is a case where the husband nullified it for her, and she's getting malkot anyway. V'isakadatcha baal mi'akar akar. If you think when the baal nullifies the neder, it works retroactively to eliminate the neder, am I sofeged arba'im? Then why is she getting malkot? As soon as the Baal nullifies it retroactively, it didn't exist. If it didn't exist, then she shouldn't be penalized for the violations that she did before. If you say Migas Gois, if you say that he cuts it off prospectively, then she's responsible for the behavior prior to the nullification. Elav Shma Mina, you conclude from this is Baal Migas Gois, that the husband must be prospectively cutting off the nether. Mara says no. Lola Mei Melecha. Baal mi'akar akar. Now, we could think that the Baal is oker mi'ikaro, does retroactively undermine the nether through his nullification. Umishum dektani seifa. The latter half will give us a chidush, and therefore the first half doesn't matter so much. Hefer la baalo, v'hi lo yada. The husband nullified the nether, and she's unaware of this fact. V'ayta shuta yain, umitama l'meitim. And she continues, or does violate the nether, but it's post the nullification. Eina sofeget et arba'im. She does not get malkot over here. Now that's a chiddush, because there is a shita there, that Rabbi Yehuda says that you get makat mardot, that you get malkot midrabanan, because she thought she was doing an isur. So even though she really wasn't because of the nullification, still in her mind, when she violated this, she did it wantonly. And therefore we're going to give her makot mardot to say, listen, this is not the way to behave, this is not the way to conduct yourself. So tananami resha sofeget. Therefore, it also wrote that the Reish is Sofeget. Now, it's interesting because now what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that the Seifa is telling you mi akar akar, and the Chiddush of the Seifa is that after the nullification, she is not held responsible, as opposed to opinions who think that she is responsible for it. And then in the Reish, it says she gets Malkot, and the case in the Reish is a case where she just violated the Neder. She took a Neder Nizirut, violated it, there's no nullification at all. And she gets Malkot. Why mention that at all? Because it's just the opposite of the case in the Seifa. In the Seifa, it's the nullification where she does not get Malkot. And we gave you a case in the Reisha where she does get Malkot. Now the truth is, according to this, there would have been a pretty big Chiddush to tell you that before the nullification that she shouldn't get Malkot. Because now you believe Miakar Akar, that the husband retroactively eliminates the Neder, then there have been a pretty big Chiddush to tell you in the Reisha that if she violates it prior to the nullification, he nullifies it, that she doesn't get Malkot. So why didn't you mention that? So Tosfot says that they wanted to get the latter Chiddush in, and therefore they forewent the earlier Chiddush. Tosfot says in the end it focused on the second Chiddush, even though there was another Chiddush that it could have told us, and it would have been actually better information to give us in the Reisha. Right, it's a weak answer, but the Gemara here managed to get out of the possibility of proving from this that it's Migas Gais, but rather Miakar Akar, and there's a possibility of explaining it either way. So now we're going to come down to two definitive proofs, and this is very interesting. Tashma. Both of them, we've bumped into these before. So Tashma. Aisha shenadra b'nazir v'nit meit. A woman who took a neder nezirut and then became tmeya. V'achar kach hefer la ba'alot. Then her husband nullifies the neder. Meviah chatatov. She brings the chatatov, but she does not bring the olatov. So this is a bright that we mentioned before, mentioned back on Daf Yutet, and we discussed the reasons for this, and we'll see in a second. If you think Baal Migas Gois, that the husband over there cuts it off prospectively, taitinami olatov, then why shouldn't she bring the olatov? I mean, if it's all prospective, then when she was Tmeya, then she really was Tmeya while she was in Nizira. She's Tmeya when she's in Nizira. She should have to bring all the korbanot of a Nizira Tmeya. That means Chatatov, Olatov. According to Tosafot, it also means the Asham. There's a third korban. The Mefaresh over here says that the Asham, for sure, she does not need to bring, because the Asham in Nazir is simply a starter for the second half of her Nisirut. A Nazir Tamei brings the Asham in order to allow him to begin the count for the Nazir Bitara. Over here, she's not going to do any Nizirut afterwards because of the nullification of the Baal. Therefore, the Asham is not necessary. That's the way that the Mefaresh explains it. Tosafot says, no, that ain't no Hanami. When they say she'll have to bring the Olatov, it means also the Asham. So why did it only mention Olatov? Because they're mentioned in the same Pasuk. The Chatatov and Olatov are brought together. The two birds that are brought together. The Asham is at the end of that Parsha. That's the last Pasuk. And over there, the Asham, they don't mention because it's just later on in the Parsha, but they meant it. So here you have a machloket whether the Asham would be brought or not. So what do you want to suggest here? Miakar akar. That it's actually retroactive, that it undermines it. Chatatov nami lo taiti. If it's okerit mi karo, then why should she bring in a chatatov? Let her just bring nothing, because there was no neder. Hachanami, you're right, ain't hachanami. Ba'amani, but the author of this position is Rabbi Lazar HaKapar. And we saw Rabbi Lazar HaKapar, the Tanya, Rabbi Lazar HaKapar, or Rabbi Lazar HaKapar Bar Rabbi, Omer Ma Tamad Omar. What is this meant by the Pasuk, Asher Chatala Nefesh, V'chi Bezu Nefesh Chatat Zeh, which Nefesh was there a chet about, we discussed again. Pashtut pasuk is that chatala nafesh is that the tumah, the nafesh is referring to the cadaver, and that was the chait, that they came in contact with the tumah. We discussed the problems with that, either because, obviously, that's the chait here, because the context of the whole parashiyah there is about someone who comes into contact with tumah tamait, or the fact that it says chatala nafesh, but we know that it could be bepeta pitom. Or even if it happened bonus, it's still problematic. So why are you saying chatal nefesh? Because of that, he darshens. V'chi yezu nefesh chatal zeh, ela, b'pnei shitzir atzmo min hayayin, nikra chuteh. The person's called a chuteh because they abstained from wine. V'alo dvarim kal v'chomer, ma zeh shlo tzir atzmo ela min hayayin, nikra chuteh. Someone only abstained from wine is called a chuteh. Hamitzir atzmo mikol davar achat kama v'kama. Someone who abstains from many more things or any of the physical pleasures of this world, certainly they are a chuteh. And again, this goes, as I mentioned before on Daf Yutet, this goes back to a much more fundamental machloket that's discussed in Gemara Tanit about whether fasting and an ascetic type of lifestyle is more beneficial or laudable, or is a person who lives in this world and takes from this world but is mikadesh that which is in this world, is that a better approach? This is clearly supportive of the approach that one should not disengage from the world, one should not be engaged in fasts and sigufim, because we don't look favorably upon that. Like, just like the Nazir, who abstained from wine, we don't look favorably upon, so too we wouldn't look favorably upon people who abstain from other items. So now, from this, you would conclude that miakaraka, that the Baal's hafara works by retroactively undermining the neder. And that's why you don't bring a korban olat of here. That's why, possibly according to Tosfot, you don't bring the Asham. And why do you bring a chatat of? Because of Rabbi Lazar HaKapar. And like we said before, this, according to the Mefaresh, is different than what we said in the previous Amud. If you remember, the last thing that we mentioned before we started today and yesterday's Amud is that when it came to a chatat for a nazir, that we said that that's deemed, when you make akar akar for the Baal, that's deemed to be chatat shemetu balea. Chatat shemetu balea then is tamut. It goes lamita, you can't bring it. So what's the difference between that case and this case? Difference is which kurban is brought as a chatat. Over there, we're talking about a Nazir Tahor. And a Nazir Tahor, the Chatat that is brought by a Nazir Tahor, is a Behema. There, we have the Locha Moshe Mesinai, that if you have a Chatat, Shekipru Balea, or Shemeta Balea, either one of those, then the Chatat is Lemita. Over here, we're talking about a Nazir Tamei. And therefore, the Chatat that is brought over here is an Oaf. By an Oaf, number one, there's no Locha Moshe Mesinai. That Locha Moshe Mesinai was only said by a Behema, not by an Oaf. Number two, we know that Chatat Of is brought ala Safek. So we said before, back on Yutet, we mentioned this, that the reason that she brings a Chatat over here is for a combination of number of reasons. One, according to the Mefaresh here, it's a difference in the Lach of the Moshe Mesinai, only applies to Beimah, does not apply to an Of. Number two, Tosafot mentions the fact that Chatat Of comes ala Safek, and Tosafot back on Daf Yutet says that this is a case where she was already mafrish the animals prior to the Afarah. Now, not everybody agrees with that. That Tosfot says she had to already been mafrish the animals in order for this to be the case. Other Rishonim believe even if she's mafrish it after the fact, that that's sufficient. So now you have a combination of items that allow her to bring this chatat over here. Number one is that it's a chatat of, which is bala safek. Number two is it's in a circumstance where there is more than just the chait of the tumah, there's the chait of Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. So even if you want to suggest that the chait of tumah disappears because of the nullification of the neder, the residual piece of Rabbi Elazar HaKapar still exists because the woman abstained from wine. Even though now the neder is gone, she still abstained from wine. That abstention from wine was not condoned in any way. Even with the neder wasn't condoned. Without the neder, certainly it's not condoned. And according to Tosafot, you even add in the factor that she did it beforehand, that she separated the animal beforehand. For a combination of those reasons, she's allowed to bring the chatat ov. But now, from here, the conclusion of the Gemara is that the afarat ha-baal is miakar akar, and that's truthfully back on Yeruf Yutet. That's what it sounded like. The Gemara believes that the nullification of the baal is miakar akar. But then the Gemara says, tashma, titanya behedyo. This is interesting. We had this lashon also in yesterday's daf, when the Gemara wanted to come to a conclusion about whether hadpasa is daisy chain, or hadpasa is only with the first individual. The Gemara concluded that sugi also with the tashma, titanya behedyo. That we have an explicit braita. The Tanya Behedya means that basically we have something that addresses our concern head on. And exactly, there's no more trying to figure out the case or adjust the case. This is the case, and it proves what the answer is. And it says, Aisha shenadra benazir, woman who takes a neder nizirut, v'shama chaverta. And her friend heard about it. This is the nafkamina that the Gemara brought in the beginning. And whether Baal's miakar akar or Baal's mikas goyis, the nafkamina was, if someone else was matpis their neder in this woman's neder. And then it says, what's the din here? Vamra bani, she says, me too. Uba bala shel rishona. And then the husband of the first woman comes along, ve'eferla. He nullifies the nether. So this is exactly the case we're looking for. He muteret. She is muteret. Ve'chaverta asura. But her friend remains asura. What does that prove? Shmamina. Baal migos goyis. There you go. It's straight out there that the baal is migos goyis. Otherwise, why would this woman's nether take effect at all? Because if you undermine it retroactively, that we already saw in the Mishnah, which is that when you mevatel the neder of the Rishon, everybody else's neder goes away. Because all of their nedarim were premised on his neder. If you eliminate his neder, then there's nothing there. Same thing here. If you eliminated the woman's neder completely, then the next woman who was matpis in that neder, it wouldn't work. The Gemara here is seemingly concluding that this Braita says that when it comes to Hatarat nedarim of the Chacham, that's Oker Mi'ikaro, that works retroactively. Whereas the Farav the Baal works prospectively, amigas goyis, and because of that, the core of the nether is still in place. Since the core of the nether is still in place, therefore the hatpasa stays, and the second woman is asura, but the first woman is cut off at the point where her husband nullified the nether. Now, as we mentioned this in Nedarim a number of times, that the way to formulate it possibly is that when it comes to the hatrav the chacham, for okir the nether mikaro means that the nether doesn't exist at all, never existed, it's gone. Whereas the case of Migos Goyis, the nether is still there. And even after the Hafarat HaBaal, the nether is still there. It's just that you've neutralized the Isurim. The husband, based on Gzeirah Ketuv, has relieved her of the Isurim. But in a sense, the nether still is there, or is in the background. The nether that you took is still in effect. All right, now, the big problem is, and this is going to bring out all the Rishonim, trying to deal with this, which is, you have now the previous Braita, which says, miakar akar. The Braita with the Korbanot said that it has to be miakar akar. That's why you bring the chatat of and not the odat of. Over here, we just concluded, migas goyis. That is prospective. So you have two Braitot that conclude actually just the opposite conclusions. How do we reconcile? Once you've now concluded that it's migas goyis, how do you go back and explain the previous Braita? It makes no sense, the previous Braita, if you say migas goyis. The Gemara rejects that as even a possible explanation of that Braita. Gemara rejected the possibility that that previous Braita was Migos Goyis. So here you have three major approaches to deal with that problem, or this problem with the Braita. Now, truth is, you could just say that the Braita would argue, that you have a machloket between the Braita, but then you have to ask the question, is why did the Gemara rely more heavily on the second Braita than the first Braita? It might be because of Tanya Behedya. I mean, this gives you the exact case that we're looking for. But the way that the Rosh deals with it, you can see here in the Perush Rosh, he says, "Aval pi shochachnu mihach brayta d'leil, the kevin she'ina mevi'a lo ta'of, the mi'akar akar, hach brayta poligale." This brayta argues on that. But nearly the efshar the yashiv, There is a way to reconcile between these two brayot. The lo plige, to say that they don't argue. The alpha gav de migos goyis, ena mavia ulatov. You don't bring ulatov, dechtiv, vezir, vehevi. Ematai, vehevi, bishitzarech lazir. The only time you need to bring the korbanot of the nazir is when you're going to continue the nazirut betara. You're not going to continue the nazirut betara. None of the korbanot are meaningful in that case. Ulatov, no. Asham, no. Ah, chatatov, you're not bringing because of the nizirut side, you're bringing that because of Rebbe Lazar ha-kapar. And so therefore, the Rosh says, you could say migas gais. There are others that suggest along the lines of the Rosh, that this could be according to the shita of Rishmal ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who said back there that olata of is an integral part of the korbanot, it's not just a stam olata of. That olat of over there was part of the process of the tarata tumata nazir, and therefore you can't just bring that voluntarily. According to the chachamim, that was an olat of, because you bring whatever, it doesn't matter, you don't even need a pasuk to exclude it. But he required a pasuk to exclude it because he believed that the olat of was part of the kapara process. So if you extend it that way, then even more so, you could suggest along the lines of the Rosh, that the reason that you do not bring the olat of is because it's like the asham, which is this part of the korbanot that are specific to the nazir, and we've just eliminated the need for those korbanot. And since you've eliminated the need for those korbanot because you're not going to start up a new nazirut, then those are out of the picture. The chatat of is really out of the picture too, except for the fact that Rabbi Elazar Kapar is there. That's how the Rosh reconciles it. On the other hand, the Balei HaTosafot over here ask the question, and then they answer the question in this fashion. They say, Tzad Kasha, Deleil Poshit, that's not the way that the Gemara usually conducts itself. Brings one proof to one side, another proof to the other side, and concludes with one of them, without giving you any reason why one's better than the other. That previous braita was only working according to Elazar HaKapar, v'hach rabbonon. And our bright over here is found the shita of the Rabbanu disagree with Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. So Tosafot suggests over here that it's a machloket tanaim. According to Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, it would be mi'akar akar based on that. And over here it would be the chachamim who suggest that it is migas gois. And in Achanami we have a machloket in the bright, but it's attributed to different tanaim. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar versus the Rabbanan. And then he says they brought this braita to show that it's a machloket tanaim because of the next statement in the braita that we bring over here, which is Rabbi Shimon Omer. It's the same Tosefta that we just quoted. At the end of that Tosefta says Rabbi Shimon Omer, im amra la hareini kimotech shtehen mutarot. But the last Gemara here says, Rabbi Shimon says, if she says, I am just like you, shtehen mutarot. They are both mutarot. Over here, it's unclear what Rabbi Shimon is doing. You have three possibilities as to what Rabbi Shimon is doing. One possibility is arguing on the Tanakama, and that he disagrees with the Tanakama, and you actually have a machloket here as whether it is migos gois, or maybe miakar akar. That's exactly what Rabbi Shimon is saying, and Tosafot is suggesting along those lines that maybe when they brought the bright here, the Tosefta, they're bringing a machloket Tanaim that might also reflect this machloket Tanaim between Rabbi Elazar HaKapar and the Rabbanan. There's a difference between migas gois, miyakar akar, it's a machloket tanaim. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that Rabbi Shimon is talking about the case of an individual who says va'ani. And what is the meaning of the word ani? Does ani simply mean me too? Or does ani mean just like you? And therefore, if the woman is muteret, then so too the other woman will be muteret because she says, I want to be just like you. So if her husband's made for it, it'll also affect the second woman who premised her neder on the first woman. The last possibility is that Rabbi Shimon's not arguing at all, but rather extending what the Tanakhama said. The Tanakhama explained the case of Ani. Rabbi Shimon explains the case of Kamotech. And they're not arguing, it's just the Tanakhama would agree with this as well. There's three different approaches to Rabbi Shimon. In the latter two approaches, Tosafot asks, how is it possible that someone takes a neder nizirut, and then all of a sudden it disappears halfway through the nizirut? With regards to Afarat HaBaal, that's a Gezeirat HaKatuv, that the Torah says you can eliminate the wife's neder. But this other woman who premised her neder on the first woman, she says, Hareini kamotech, I'm just like you. That means that when the woman started out, her neder and nizirut went into effect. Then what are you going to say? The next, after the Baal of the first woman is made fair, her neder disappears all of a sudden? You can't start an Nizirut and then have it terminate in the middle. So it says the equivalent of saying, Areni Nazir Ayom, Umachar Eni Nazir. Today I'm a Nazir, tomorrow I'm not a Nazir. You're a Nazir for 30 days. Doesn't matter. There's no such thing as a Nizirut less than 30 days. That starts with 30 days, and what you said about Machar is meaningless. So how does it work over here? So Tosafot claims that it works over here because Areni Kamoteich means that the woman, when she says Kamoteich, she's saying, I want to be exactly like you in your entirety. And I know there's a possibility that your husband might be Mayfair this Nether. And therefore, if he's Mayfair the Nether, then I don't want this Nether to take effect at all. So she looks at it in almost embedded in her Nether as a Tanai, a condition that will allow the Nether to be nullified by the fact that the husband of the first woman nullifies the Nether. So depending on what you would think Rabbi Shimon is saying over here, Rabbi Shimon could be in the latter two answers, the way that we explained it. It could be either that he thinks that when you say the word ani, it's just like kumotech, and then you're right. There's no difference between them. According to Rabbi Shimon, the Tanakhama disagrees and says ani and kumotech are different. Or you could say in the last answer, which is everybody agrees, ani and kumotech are different. Because ani just means a matpis in this Nether at this point in time, at this discrete moment. Kimoteich means I want to be the entirety of what your picture is going to look like, and that'll be different. Now, all of this is background to help explain, again, the fundamental question that we have is, what happened here that we have Migas Gais, and before we had Miakar Akar. The Gemara now is going to move on to a new section and ask a question, or there's a question that's going to be brought that we had in Masechet Nedarim. And the way you explain this is going to have influence on explaining the previous two Braitot. And what we're going to see is that Tosafot doesn't quote it from anybody in particular, but the Rosh does quote it from the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam suggested this Shita in order to deal with it. And then we have the other Shita, which is brought in the name of the Reish Mem. It's not clear who the Bala Tosafot was speaking about in this case, but the Reish Mem, who brings an alternative view of this Gemara, and these are two big views about the upcoming Gemara. So we'll start with the Rabbeinu Tam's Pshat. Rabbeinu Tam says now that the Gemara is going to move into a situation and suggest now that everybody agrees mi'akar akar. Everybody agrees that a neder is undermined mi'ikaro. What about the brayta that we just brought that proves that migos gais? So that is based on the next gemara here. Mazutra v'edra mari amar hayainu d'rami barchama. This is exactly the question of Rami barchama. D'bai Rami barchama harei alaik basar zevach shlami mahu. You might recall this from the beginning of Masechet Nedarim. We had that back on Daf Yud Aleph in Masechet Nedarim. We had a question. When a person takes a neder that associates or is matpis the neder with the basar, the flesh of a zevach shlamim, what is the din? Ki matpis inish bi kora matpis. When a person does hatpasa, they do hatpasa based on the origins of the item. Odilma bit sanina matpis. Or maybe they do it on the colder part of it. The Mefaresh over here says tzinina means that just like everything that's hot will eventually become cold, so too every shlamim that starts out as being a davara nadur will end up being something that is davara mutar to eat afterwards. The basar shlamim is totally mutar in the end. Anybody can eat that. It's not a davara nadur in the end. At best, it's a davara asur, but it's definitely not a davara nadur. So the Gemara here, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, is suggesting that this is the answer to the problem. And the Gemara is going to continue and say, according to Rabbeinu Tam, all of this is the statement of Marzucha, even the continuation of the Gemara over here. But let's explain what the Rabbeinu Tam means. He says now that the Gemara's conclusion is mi'akar akar, that the Baal's nullification is really undermines it retroactively. So that helps explain the Braita with the Korbanot, because that's how you would conclude. The problem is our Braita over here that just said that if your matpis, the woman's matpis, the nether by her friend, and then it becomes hafara, the nether stays intact. Why is that? The solution to that problem is Rami Barchama. Rami Barchama, back in the Darim, posed a question, now helps us out. That question is, when someone takes a nether, where are they connecting the nether to? Are they connecting the nether to the status today or now? Or are they connecting the nether to the status in Ikaro, from the beginning or from the point of departure? And so what he suggests over here is that that's the solution to the problem. The reason that when this woman says Va'ani, her nether remains in place is because when you go ahead and take a nether and she says, Vani, me too, you don't mean to say that like this woman right now, where she's no longer covered by a nether because her husband nullified it, but rather back to the core or the beginnings, the origins of this nether. And that's the solution to the problem. The solution to the problem is that we're going to use Rami Barchama's question as a way to facilitate the answer to this stira in the Braitot. The stira in the Braitot is one says miakarakar, one says migazgoyis. No, you got it wrong. They all believe miakarakar. Ah, how can you have a Brait that says miakarakar and then you nullify the woman's nether and her friend is, still has her nether intact? So the answer is, because of this din of Rami Rachama, when a person is matpis, the answer is that they're matpis meikaro. When they're matpis, they go back to the origins of the nether. Tosfot asks numerous questions on this pshat. One of the questions that he asked is very interesting. He says, well, if you believe that the nether is mi'akar akar when the husband nullifies it, then what does it matter what Rami Brachama says? Even if you go back to Ikaro, it doesn't exist anymore. There's no Ikaro. There's nothing left. Your mi'akar akar means it's gone the gamre. For this reason, the Balei Tosafot draws a distinction here that's very interesting. And he says that even if you believe that the Baal is mi'akar akar, it's different than the Hatara v'chacham. So now we have actually three different methodologies for eliminating a nether. There's mi'akar akar of the Hatarat HaChacham, which we talked about, eliminates the nether completely. You have Migas Goyis, which prospective elimination, nullification of the nether. But there's also, even if you believe that the Baal is mi'akar akar, it's different than the Chacham. Because the Chacham does it either through a petach the nether or charata, right? Which is either regret or a reason why the nether should not take effect. He has, within it, he creates the nether to be a mistake. And by creating it to be a ta'ut, that's what eliminates the nether mi'ikaro. On the other hand, that's not the way that the husband's working. The husband's allowed to be oker the nether of his wife because of gzerat ha-katuv. The Torah empowered him to be nullified the nether. The nether could have been a full-fledged nether, could mean something that's completely what she wanted to do, but he has a right through the gzerat ha-katuv to eliminate it. And when he eliminates it, he even eliminates it retroactively. But it's a different type of retroactive elimination. It's not an elimination which says that the nether is as if it never existed. It's a, like you could go back in history, it's like wiping out history. That's not the case here. Here, it wipes it out retroactively, but there's still a core that remains. There's this core essence that remains there. And that might go to what we discussed before, which is that even if you say that the Hafarat HaBaal works, it might work differently than what we talked about by Hatara, which is that the Baal does not eliminate the nether. The nether's still there. He just negates the Isurim. When does that negation start? That might be the question here. Does the negation start prospectively? Or mi'akar akar right from the beginning? But that means the nether might underlying there still be intact. If that's the case, then you can have hatpasa. It's a huge chiddush, but that's how you have to say here in order to deal with this question of the Rabbeinu Tam. But then Tosafot brings numerous other questions on this pshat of the Rabbeinu Tam, which he says, v'kasha tuva l'hai perusha. He says, I have a lot of questions on this perush. And then he goes on, he lists them. I'm not going to go through all the questions that he asks, but he's, first of all, the fact that the Gemara said, Tanya behedjo, makes it pretty clear that the Gemara thinks that this is the solution to the problem, and not afterwards going to go back and then change that and undermine that answer. When you say Tanya behedjo, that looks like that's the conclusion of the Gemara, which is probably one of the most definitive proofs against it. The other thing that they run into a problem with, and this is a serious issue, which is that the case in Nidarim, the way the Gemara at least posed the question around Rabbi Chama was, a case where the person took the nether after the basar was already mutar to eat. He's taking the nether then, he's matpis it with the basar, zevach shlamim, that's mutar to eat right now. And the question was, when he said that, did he mean the original meat that was davar nadur, when it was originally korban, does he mean the meat now, which is maybe a davar asur, because there's certain restrictions about it, but it's definitely not a davar hanadur now. Our case, clearly over here, is a different view of Rami Bar Chama in that case. Because in the case here, it has to be that the woman, number two, took her nether when the first woman's nether was still intact. It had to be at the point when it was still intact. Now, the Hafara might change that after the fact, but if she takes her nether after the Hafara, then it's clear that there's no Hadpasa here because she's not Mapis in it. There's nothing there. She can't say, me too, after the Hafara to nether. There's nothing for her to be Mapis with. That means that the question here and the question in the Darim are focused on different time periods. The question in the Darim focuses on a nether taken post the basar already becoming a basar shlamim that could be eaten. The case here assumes now that Rami Bar Chama's question was not about post, but actually pre. It's when the thing was still a korban, but it's eventually going to reach the basar shlamim. Balei Tosafot over here say, Enochanami. Maybe that's it. That the Gemara Nazir thinks the question's this way. And the Gemara Nidarim thinks the question's this way. But even though in the Gemara Nidarim, Rami Bar Chama's question seems to word his question about Batar, meaning that after it was already Basar Shlamim, embedded in the question itself. But Tosafot proves that in many places in Shas, we have that the Gemara itself determines the context of the question and adds it into the question, even though that was not the statement. So maybe Rabbi Bar Chama's question was simply, can you be Matbis or not? Then the Gemara in the Darim imposes on that question the fact that that was after it became already Basar Shlamim, and then makes it part of the question of Rabbi Bar, as if Rabbi Bar Chama asked the question that way. And here the Gemara disagrees and thinks the question is pre that fact. The other Rishonim want to suggest that Rami Bar Chama's question was inconclusive, meaning it was ambiguous. We don't know which way. And so the Gemara over here picked it up as being before, and the Gemara over there picked it up as being afterwards. But then that not necessarily that they're arguing. It's just that Rami Bar Chama's question was generically asked, and it's not clear, or maybe he meant both. So now the Gemara continues according to this way of the Rabbeinu Tam, which is, Umi Dami, are they really comparable, these cases? Hotam came in the Amar Harei Alai Kibbasar Zerach Shlamim, so even though after Zrikat Adam you can eat it outside of the Azara, Mikdosh Kodesh, it still has embedded Kiddusha inside of it. Which means that there are other items here, which are, first of all, you can't eat, there's a time limit to when you can eat it. There are issues of Pigol, there are issues of other issues that remain in Isurim inside of this Basar. So it's not like it's completely Heter. Havahocha, over here, if you think that it's in the tail end that she's matpis, then the baal was already made for it, then there's nothing left in the back end to be matpis with. So, what are you talking about? The cases are not comparable at all. They deal with the origins or betzinina matpis. So the Gemara says it's very different. By the shlamim, there's a reason to believe in the beginning and in the end, that there is some sort of davar nadur here. In the beginning, for sure, because it was a korban originally. And even in the back end, where there are certain heterim involved, there are also isurim that still remain from, quote-unquote, the davar nadur. And that's what Tosfot says over here, that the Gemara here brought one example of items that are true, which is that matziach alei b'chutz. But he says there are a whole bunch of other issues that the Gemara could have raised over here, that there are many things that apply to this basar zevach shlamim. First of all, change to the heter, but also that remain by Isur. Therefore, that's very different than the case in the Nidareem. And then the Gemara says, Ikadamri, Hainu Durami Barchama Vadai. And then there's another view, no. That even though they might be a little different, in the end, they're really the same. The questions are the same, and we're willing to make that comparison between them. And that'll be the conclusion. According to Rabbeinu Tam, this is all part of Marzutra's statement, that basically this is incomparable to the case of Rami Barchama, and that's our solution to the problem. Which is that we're going to say Bi'ikara Kamatpis. And since it's Bi'ikara Kamatpis, that's why we believe that the Baal, when he's Mefer, is Mi'akar Akar. But still, the other woman can be Matpis, her Neder, with the first woman's Neder, because even though the Baal is Oka Mi'ikara, there's still some semblance of a Neder from the beginning, and she can be Matpis in that Neder. Now back there, if you remember in the Gemara Nidareem, actually the Mefarash over there had an interesting shot that was different than all the other Rishonim. All the other Rishonim believed that prior to it becoming Basar Shlamim, it was a Davar Nadur, because it was a Korban. Post the Zrikat Adam, it became a Davar Asur, and not a Davar Nadur. And therefore, it would not be a Pasah. The Mifaresh there, in Nidarim, actually disagreed with all those Mishonim and said just the opposite. That if it was post the Zrikat Adam, it was actually a Davar Nadur. Because the Isurim that remained afterwards derived from it being a Korban. And therefore, it's deemed to be a Davar Nadur. So over here, the Mefaresh also says something very similar. It says, Iga Damre, Hainu Durami Barchama. Some say this is Durami Barchama. Damar. Da'afagav da'acha zrikat damim miklak doshish. Kevin da matze ochile chutz tukumat azar b'chol yir. Yamar, it's bitzinina tafis vaday shari. That if you do it in the back end, then it is definitely mutar. So then it's definitely mutar, which sounds like the Rishonim over there. But that implies that before we got to the Iga Damre, what the Mefaresh thought was, and this is his explanation before, is that Bi'ikara Kamatpis would be that, even if you say Bahashta Matpis, that it's Matpis right now, he would have said that when it says Mikdash Kodesh over here, that Mikdash Kodesh means that literally you are Matpis in the back end of this Korban, similar to what he says in the Darim. So the Havamina is that by Kodoshim, it's a Davar Nadur, maybe even before, but it's certainly a Davar Nadur even afterwards. Whereas the Gemara then concludes and says, no, you know what? It's not true. But beforehand, it's a Davar Nadur. Afterwards, it's a Davar Mutar or a Davar Asur, and therefore, there's no Adpasa. But that's according to him. Tosafot sees in both cases that The shlamim is a devar hanador before the zikat damim and a devar asur afterwards. Ah, then why over here? Does the Gemara say there's difference between the case? Gemara says over here there's a reason they would make a mistake. Over there there's no reason to make a mistake. In the case where the husband nullified the woman's neder, no woman's going to come after that and say, I want to be just like her. It's meaningless to make that statement after the neder is gone. That's what. But by basar shlamim, when you come after the zrika damim, and you come to do atpasa, over there, a person could theoretically look at this and say that there's residual kedusha in it. There's reason for me to make a mistake and be matpis in the basar shlamim after the fact. So now we have to clarify. When he talks about the basar shlamim after the fact, is he mistaken? And he's trying to connect to something that doesn't exist, which is basar shlamim after the zrika. Or he's going back after the ikara, the core, or the origins of this item, which is that it was a devar nadur. So the way Tosafot learns is even in the first case, if you were matpis after zrikat damim, it would be meaningless. Just to question what the guy means post zrikat damim. And the reason you would make a mistake is because after zrikat damim, there's still these surim that exist. There's still residual issues with this basar shlamim. Whereas the way the Mefarash is learning in that first case, he would say that even after zrikat damim, you could do at pasa because there's residual isurim that are there that would make it that it could be in hadpasa there. That'd be similar to the Mefarash's explanation in Darim that after zrikat damim is when you have a davar nadur, not before zrikat damim. So that's very interesting. That's one way to approach it and the one way that Tosfot approaches it. Tosfot in the end rejects this explanation because he says it's just, this Rabbeinu Tam is just so far-fetched. And I gave you some of the reasons. But most important is Tanya Behedya. And therefore, Tosfot in the end concludes that the Gemara believes Migos Goyis. Now the Gemara says, once we have Migos Goyis, let us now use this as a way to answer our question about Rami Bar Chama. Because that when a person takes a neder and then connects themselves to the individual, do they focus on the core, the origins, or do they focus on the back end? And that should give you an answer over here. And that's what he says here, Cheni Rala Aram, the Feresh, the Marzutra lo dochi apshitut, elakaima de Baal Migos Goyis. He thinks like this conclusion. Vikamar, Hainu Durani Michamar, Klomo Tifshot Mihach Breita, Bayi Durami Bachama. Let us answer Rami Bachama's question in Darim based on this Breita. Techechi Damrina, the Chaverta Asura, Kimraani. So that when a woman says Vani, and she matches up with the other person, Ama Bimikara Matpis. That he connects to the mikara, she connects to the core of the neder, not to the back end. Afagav de chaverta yudash zote ishayi cholol avodi deheter. Even though she knows in the end, this woman can become muteret. Over here, what's interesting in the end is that Tosfot, even in the second answer, faces the problem that the Braita was talking about a case pre zrikat damim, and the Gemara Nedarim was talking post zrikat damim. So in that case, he still will have to say the same thing that we said before, which is that these Gemarot are viewing it differently or talking about the question from a different perspective. So now reading this according to the way that Tosfot reads it now, Mazucha Breder Amari Amar Hainu Durami Brachama. Let us now, once we've determined that Baal's Migas Goyis, and the Breita says when the woman says Vani, it means that she meant from Ikara, she's connected to the origins of this woman, not the back end of this woman. So that's answer the question. The Bai Rami Chama Hariya like Basar Zevech Shlami Mao. So now again, assuming this is prior to Zvikat Damim, what's the din? Ki matpis yinish biikara matpis? Do they do it at that moment? Oh, deal with it sinina matpis. Or they deal with it in the back end. Then what does the back end mean here? That means post the Zvikat Damim or post the Hafara. So mi domi, the Gemara says you can't compare these cases. Hotam gave this. Now this is not from Marzutra. Now it's Gemara questioning how you could answer this for Rami Bar Chama because the cases are totally different. Midami otam came to my array like a basar zevek shlamim. Afagav de lachar shenizrak damo matzil achilei b'chutz mikdash kodesh v'ocha. Isak adachta b'tzinin ha-kamatpis ha-efer la-balo. The cases are not comparable because in the case of zevek shlamim, there's reason to believe that this person is either connecting to Ikara or connecting to the back end because there's something in the back end to connect to. And therefore the question is, are they connecting to the front or the back end? Over here, there's nothing to talk about in the back end. When she says vani, if you interpret that she's talking about post-hetter, that means she said absolutely nothing. Her words were meaningless. There's no reason to say that. Vani must mean she's saying something meaningful. The only way to make it meaningful is to say that she was connected to Mi'ikara. On the other hand, if you said that by the Basar Zerach Shlamim, the person says, I was connected to right now, when it's a Devar Nadur, Or am I connected to it after Zrikat Damim? There's a reason to connect after the Zrikat Damim, because there's still Kedusha. There's still something residual in this Basar to connect to. And so there's a difference. But then when it says Ikadamra, I know the Rami Bar Chama Badai. No, that the two cases are comparable. And therefore we could conclude about Rami Bar Chama. But just like Vani over here means Meikara, so too over there, Basar Shadokshah means from right now, and it goes after the Ikara. So that's how you would answer it. And why does the back end not matter? Because the back end, even by the Basar, Zevach Shlamim, is not something that is any Kedusha, or real Kedusha to it. It might have things that are Itzurim, but there's no real Kedusha left over. All right, so now the Gemara says, Amar La, Hareini Nisira Bikvech Mahu. So now the Gemara either is posing a question, which is based on the Rabbeinu Tam, the way that he answered it. The Rabbeinu Tam said before that we're me akir akir. So now the Gemara wants to know, Hareini Zirei Bikvech, what does that mean? Or, according to the way that most of the Rishonim read over here, this is according to Migas Gois, that after we say Migas Gois, what happens if a woman now phrases it, Hareini Nizira Bikvech? Hareini Bikvech Bikula Milta, Visharya. Does that mean Bikvech means that I want to be exactly like you? Odoma Kimikame Delefer La Bala Vasura. Or does it mean before the Hafarata Baal and she's a Surah? The way the Baal Yatosfot read it is that the word Akev can mean two different things. Akev can mean like, Vata Teshufenu Akev, which means that you will get him in the end. That Besof Darkech, that's it. If there's what's that's left over, you will get it. That means at the way end, she's connecting herself to the back end. Or, Akev can be like, Akev Asher Shema Avraham Bikuli, which means because, Biklau, that Avraham listened to me, therefore, which would mean that just because you took an energy route. So Tosfos says that's the Safek over here. When she says Ikvech, did she mean because you're a Nazira, so am I a Nazira? Or does she mean whatever you are in the end, I'm in the end? That's one way to read it. The way that the Faresh reads it is what is called the end over here. But does she mean in the end, meaning that the final say in this, which is that she is Hafarata Neder and she's nothing? Or does Ikvech mean the last moment before the Baal did the Hafara? That's the end of your Nazirut. I'm connecting to the end of your Nazirut. So is that what I'm connected to, that end? What's the end that she means? Does she mean the end of this Neder Nizirut? Or does she mean the end when we're all done and said and finished, which is that there's Hafara? So Tashma, Aisha Shnadra bin Azir v'shama balav amar vani. Our Mishnah, that if a woman takes a Neder Nizirut and her husband hears it and says, me too, Eino yachol afer. He cannot nullify her Neder. V'isa kadatcha ki amar lo hareini bikveich. If you want to suggest now when the woman says hareini bikveich, bikara kamatpis, she's really connecting to the origins, lefer la didida. Then he should be able to be made for the neder, the loki didei, and establish his. So here, what's the issue with him being made for the woman's neder? We're suggesting over here the problem with him being made for the woman's neder is if he does hafara, he also then is oker his neder. And since if he's made for, he's also oker his neder, that makes it that the situation is now that he has been made fair, not only her nether, but also his nether. So that you can't do. He cannot affect his own nether. And therefore he's stuck now in this nether. And that's what the Gemara before said, that it must be that you're thinking miakar akar, and that's why it can't be done. The Gemara then said, no, maybe it is migas gois. But what the Gemara now says is, if you say that the husband connects to the origins of the nether, then let him be made fair it, because migas gois. And it's prospective. That means that his nether is connected to the origins of the nether, which are still intact, because he's only Migas Gois, he only cuts it off prospectively. So what do you see from that? You see that it must be that when a person says, there any big veich, it doesn't mean just the ikara, it means the entirety of you. Now, over here, it's a little strange. The husband says, vani. We're talking about big veich. So why are ani big veich the same thing? So either you can argue that that's, the Gemara over here believes that when you say ani, it means big veich, but the Baal Yatosfot would explain over here that it's a little different, because here the husband knows, or the husband has the right to be made for the neder of the woman. So when he says va'ani, he has already that foreknowledge that he has all the information here. And so we have to look at his ani as being bikvech, because he knows everything. He knows that he could be made fair, and he knows he is in control of that situation. And therefore, his ani over here is just like bikvech. El alav, shmamina, bekula milta matpis. It must be that the husband is connected to the entirety of what happens with his wife. That's why he can't be made for the nether over here, because If he's made for his wife's neder, his neder goes by the wayside also. And therefore he's meichel his neder, which he can't do. Ha'isha damra areni bikveich, hinami mutaret. And therefore, a woman who says areni bikveich would be in the same position where it all be mutaret. Where it says, lo, dolam bi'ikara kamatpis. Now that it goes back to the ikar. V'ha'cha, so what's the explanation of this gemara here? Kevin damar la va'ani, when he says va'ani, komer, it's as if he says, kayayim loichi, dami. That's as if he's mikayim her neder. Because the only way for his neder to take effect is if her neder is in effect at this point. And when he says vani, it's the equivalent of being mekayim the neder. Now, he cannot then be made for a neder. After he's mekayim a neder, he can't be made for it. V'imit sh'al ha'kamato. If he gets hatarat nedarim for his hakama, fine. Matzi mefer. Otherwise, he lo. And that's why the Mishnah says that he can't be made for a neder, because her neder is not subject to hafara after he's making the neder. And vani is the equivalent of hakama. So therefore, you can't prove anything from this about big veich, because the reason that he can't do this has nothing to do with whether that he's matpis pekula or matpis pekara. It all has to do with the nature of saying ani is the equivalent of making hakamat haneder. Once he does hakamat haneder, there's no right to be made for the neder anymore. Right now, the last piece of the Mishnah. Reini nazir, zama nazir va'at. What about you? From Ramein, and she says, me too. Mefer et shalav shalo kayam. He's allowed to be made for hers, and his remains in place. And here, as the Mifreish says, Tosfot said it back when we read the Mishnah, he doesn't have a right to impose a Nizirut on his wife. And therefore, she's taking the Neder Nizirut to her own volition. His question, Va'at, is posing a question. When she decides to take the Neder Nizirut, he still has a right to be made for it because he didn't do anything. She did it on her own. She chose to be a Nizira. But now, Reminu, we have a problem. Hareini, we have a Tosef that says, Hareini Nazir, Va'at, says, I'm a Nazir and you, from Ramein. And she says, me too. Shnehem Asurim. They're both restricted. Vim lav. And if she says no, shnehem mutarim. Then they're both mutar. Mipnei, shetala nidro b'nidra. Because he connected his nether to her nether. So here we have an exact same scenario. And the Tosefta has a totally different halacha versus what our Mishnah says. So I'm Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, amends the Tosefta to say, tnei mefer et shalav shelo kayam. Change the second statement to say that if she says, amen, then he's made for Echelav, Shlo Kayam. That if he's made for hers, and his remains in place. On the other hand, Abaye Amar, Afilu Tema Kedetani Bebraito. You can leave the Braita intact. Kegon. The Kamar Law, that he says to her, Ereni Nazir, Va'at. Now, Va'at is not a question now, but rather, Va'at is the Katoli Nidro B'Nidra. He says, I want to be in Nazir together with you. Are you in? Are you in? And she says, no. If she says no, shnehem mutarim. If she says yes, they're both in because shnehem asurim. Umatitan, our Mishnah is a case, going to Amar La'arin Azir Va'at, my. It's a question. It's not saying, a me, and I'm depending on what you say, but rather, what do you want to do independent of me? And therefore, Mishumachi, Mefer Shalav, Shalom Kayam. So there's a difference between them. How you read this Gemara actually has major nafkamina b'alocha. The Rambam actually reads this Gemara l'alocha and says that Abaye's distinction over here stands l'alocha. And therefore both are true. Both in the Mishnah and in the Braita, the alochas are true, and it depends on what Va'at is. Does that mean you, what are you doing? Or does that mean we're going to do this together? Do you want to do this together? Depending on how it's interpreted, then we would figure it out afterwards. On the other hand, if you look in the Tosafot, Abaye's explanation says, the Sfirle de Baal mi akar akar. That he says that Abaye believes that when the Baal does hafara, he's oker mi'ikaro. And therefore, he has a problem of alo yachel, divaro. Umatnitan diktanere nazir va'at perusheno tole nidro b'nidra. Elohu mikabela nafshe. That this Gemara here all assumes that the Baal is mi'akar akar, that he undermines it retroactively, and therefore the Baal can't do afara over here because if he does afara, it's going to affect his neder because he's tole his neder in the woman's neder. Therefore, based on what the Tosfot says here, this will not be the halacha. Because the Abaye's statement is depending on Baal mi akar akar. Whereas we paskin Baal migos goyis. And since Baal migos goyis, the two nidarim are not automatically intertwined. So therefore the Rambam Nalocha quotes Abaye's distinction and brings both cases down, saying that they can be reconciled. The Mishnah and the Braita can be reconciled. Tosfot, who says that the Abaye's explanation depends on the Sirele de Baal mi akar akar, believes that this does not stand Nalocha, and therefore it's not brought down the halacha, it's not brought in the explanation of the Mishnah, as opposed to the Rambam, who thinks that this is also embedded in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah spoke about one case of Va'at, And the Braita is talking, the Tosefta is talking about a different case of Va'at. Okay, with that, we'll end at the Mishnah on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph.